A quick note from sheaudios.com. Every momin and momina, including children, should read or listen to this book, as it explains the way the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his holy Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, showed us how to lead our day-to-day life in the Islamic way. Some parts of the book are not appropriate for children. To ensure children also take the benefit of the book yet be away from topics that are not appropriate for them, we have moved some paragraphs from chapter 1, 2, 3 and 5 to chapter 4, which relates to marriage, childbirth, bath and similar topics, and have named this chapter as miscellaneous and kept it towards the end of the book for Baligh Momineen. Part 1. Etiquette of dressing and wearing shoes. 2. Materials which are not permitted to be worn. Men are not permitted to use pure silk and brocade, and are asked to be careful that their headgear and all those clothings which do not cover the private parts should not be made of silk. 12. Ways of applying dye. According to another reliable tradition, Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said that it was not bad for an old man to apply wasma dye. According to another tradition from Hassan, Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, applied henna dye to his beard. Another tradition states that the henna dye relieves bad smell, beautifies the face, creates good breath, and beautiful children are born. One should know the various opinions of scholars in this connection. It is makruh for man and woman to apply dye in the state of janabat. Coition is also makruh during the process of dyeing. Coition is allowed when henna's color has appeared on the dyed area. It is makruh to dye during menstruation. Part 3. Etiquette of cleaning teeth, combing, cutting nails, and shaving head. 5. The grace of white hair and prohibition of pulling them out. A tradition from Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, prohibits the pulling of white hair, as it is the light of Islam, and those Muslims who will have white hair in the beard will be a source of light on the Day of Judgment. According to a tradition from Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, God will not talk with three types of men and neither bless them on the Day of Judgment, but rather curse them. They are: A. A person who pulls out white hair. B. A person who does masturbation and causes seminal emission by irritating other parts of his body. C. A person who is used to sodomy. The first part of the tradition means that a man pulls out the white hair with bad intention, because it is a blessing to have white hair. According to Imam Ali Reza, peace be upon him, a tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, states that a white hair on the forehead is a source of blessing, those on the cheeks are a sign of generosity and courage, and among the hair of the head is a sign of bravery and courage. It is a bad omen to have the first white hair growing on the back of the neck. Part 4. Manner of eating and drinking. 2. The right to have good tasty food and prohibition of greed. According to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, two things, leprosy and white spots, are caused by five habits. A. To use Nora on Friday and Wednesday. B. To perform wuzu and bathe with the water heated by sunlight. C. To eat during the state of Janabat. D. To cohabit with a woman when she is in period, monthly course. E. To eat even when the stomach is full. 3. Ways and timings of eating. One should not cut the bread with knife and should not completely empty the bones. At least three fingers should be used to hold the morsel, and when quite a few people are eating in one plate, one should not put the hand in front of the other's section. The plate and fingers should be completely cleaned. It is makruh, detestable, to eat in the state of janabat. The rigidity of order is relaxed if one performs wuzu or washes hands, gargles and puts water in the nose, or simply washes hand and face and gargles. It is stated in a tradition that one may suffer from the disease of white spots if he neglects the above direction. 7. The advantages of bread, sattu, flour of channa, rice and cereals, meat, margarine, ghee, and all those foods which are got from the animals and also of vinegar and sweets. According to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, Satu, a blend of cereal powder or flour, was made with reference to a revelation from God. It increases weight, strengthens bones and is the food of prophets. Dry Satu cleans and diminishes white spots and when had with olive oil, increases weight, strengthens bones, and freshens complexion and increases sexual strength, and if 3 tablespoons of Satu are taken in the morning, then it cures phlegm and clearer, that is balgam and safra. It is stated from Imam Muhammad Taqi, peace be upon him, that if a woman takes Satu, it will stop the flow of blood which exceeds the specified period of menstruation. According to Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, 3 things destroy health and even lead one to one's death. A. To have meat dried in shade and smelling bad. B. To bathe after having a full meal. C. To intercourse with old woman. According to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, eating bihi, quince, improves complexion and causes beautiful children. Among all the fruits, fig has close similarity with the fruits of heaven. It also cures colic, clange. It is also stated that figs cure piles and pain in toes and fingers of leg. It increases sexual strength. According to a tradition from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, the meal of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, always consisted of green vegetables. He stated that the heart of Mumin is green and has a leaning towards greenness. He also stated that whosoever has eaten 7 khazni leaves during the night, he will be safe from the colic pain and whosoever desires many offsprings should take khazni leaves in large quantities. Another tradition describes green khazni leaves as a very good vegetable. Not a single leaf of khazni is devoid of a drop of water of heaven and therefore when one eats one should not shake it. It is also stated that khazni leaves, endive, are superior to all vegetables in the same manner as Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him, are superior to all mankind. Khazni leaves when eaten cause birth of male children who are also beautiful. When a person was ill with fever and headache, the Imam, peace be upon him, asked khazni leaves to be beaten in pulp, spread on paper, and sprinkled with oil of banafsha and then applied on the forehead of that person as it will completely cure both the fever and the headache. Another tradition from the Imam, peace be upon him, states that onion cleans dirt of teeth and sputum, lessens fatigue and laziness, strengthens veins and muscles and the roots of the teeth, increases offsprings, beautifies complexion and cures fever. Part 5. Importance of Nikah, advantages of living together with women, upbringing of children and advantages of being friendly with them. 1. Importance of Nikah and prohibition of celibacy and being a hermit. According to a reliable tradition from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, it is stated that keeping a woman dear was the etiquette of the prophets. He also emphasized that there can be no progress in the faith of any brother Mumin unless he loves his woman. He also stated that those who love their woman more have more faith. A reliable tradition from Imam Reza, peace be upon him, states that there are 3 things which are included in Sunnat of the prophets. A. Smelling perfume. B. Cleaning excess hair of the body. C. Being more attached to woman and living together with woman. According to a reliable tradition, Sheikh Najafi ignored women, perfume and tasty food and engaged himself in prayers and had written a letter about this to the Imam, peace be upon him. He answered that while questioning about women, he should have been aware of the number of wives of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and about tasty food, he ought to know that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, used to eat meat and honey. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had stated that a man who marries has protected half the faith, and the other half will be protected if he practices piety. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, further said that there was nothing to hinder a man from performing nikah, shari marriage, For the man may be blessed with a son who may brighten the earth with the Qom Allah ilaha il Allah, God is one, and emphasized that those who believe in his sunnah should perform nikah. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has stated that a person who does not perform nikah on account of his poor financial condition does not have faith and confidence in God. God says, if they be needy, Allah, out of his grace will make them free from want. In another tradition from Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, it is stated that three women came to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. One stated that her husband did not eat meat, the second woman said that her husband did not smell perfume, and the third stated that her husband did not live with her. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, came out of Baitul Sharaf in a fury. His fury could be seen from the expression of his face and his cloak dragged behind. In the same condition he seated himself on the minbar, pulpit, and after praising the Almighty, he questioned why a certain group among his companions had stopped eating meat, smelling perfume and also refusing women, as the meat eating, smelling perfume and also living together with women was sunnat. A person who was against his sunnat was excluded from his followers. Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has stated that 2 rakat prayer of a married man is better than 70 rakat prayer of a celibate. The Holy Quran 24:32. 2. Types of women, good and bad. It is stated from Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, that the woman whose hand one seeks in marriage should possess the following qualities. A. Wheat complexioned face. B. Broad forehead. C. Black eyes. D. Medium height. E. Heavy hips. It is stated from Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that when a man is asking a woman's hand in marriage, he should inquire about her hair, for in the beauty of the hair lies half of the charm. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had stated that the best woman is one who produces many children, is the well-wisher of her husband, is chaste and holds respect among her relatives and acquaintances, obeys her husband and welcomes him. A man told the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that his wife welcomes him when he enters the house and comes to the door when he leaves, and when he is worried, tells him that if he is worried about daily living, the Holy Quran 24:32, then the Almighty God looks after it, and if he is worried about salvation, then wishes that God make him care more for his salvation. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, replied that there are divine agents in the world, and such a woman is one of the divine agents and will get half the reward of a martyr. In another reliable tradition it is stated that when God wants to bless a man with the virtues of the world and that to come, he gives him a heart which will be merciful towards those facing difficulties, is scared of the Almighty and gives him complete attention, and he gives this man a tongue which always speaks about him, and he gives him a body which can bear all hardships, and a woman, who will be happy on seeing him and is chaste during his absence and does not waste his money. 3. Etiquette of nikah. A reliable tradition from Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, states that when a person intends to request for nikah, he should offer 2 rakat prayer and recite the following dua. O Allah, I intend to perform my nikah. Bless me with a woman out of all who is highly virtuous and who, for my sake, will safeguard her conscience, nafs, and my belongings, and will be a source of increase in daily bread and also in luck. And then make her give birth to sons who will be my virtuous remembrance in life and after death. Another reliable tradition states that it is sunnat to perform nikah at night. According to a reliable tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that is a halal bite, homosexual and autosexual acts are prohibited. One who commits such acts will be inflicted by the wrath of Allah here and hereafter. 4. Etiquette of conducting bride to her groom's house for matrimonial relations. Coition during menstruation and the period of nifas, that is discharge of blood after delivery, is haram, non-permissible. It is also makruh to touch any part of her lower body during these periods. One should prevent himself to unite with a woman before the compulsory bath, which is meant for the physical purity, after the period is over. Semen should not be ejected outside genital organ of the wife during coition, without her permission. Certain scholars declare this as haram. When people asked Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, whether a man could unite with his wife making himself nude, he, peace be upon him, replied in the negative. No one should unite keeping his face or back towards Kaaba or during sailing in the boat. It is stated by Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, that he did not like sexual intercourse during journey when the water was not available for ghusl, compulsory bath, except when one felt the risk for health if the intense excitement was not gratified. Ulama, scholars, have declared this intercourse as haram except in unavoidable circumstances. It is stated by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that one should not cohabit with his wife before taking compulsory bath due to seminal emission during sleep. If anybody neglects this instruction and a child is born out of this intercourse and suffers from lunacy, then one should curse himself. It is stated from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that it is makruh to unite at the time of sunrise before it gets bright or at sunset before the sun disappears completely. It is stated in a tradition that a person told Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that they did not find taste in the food though they cooked it with cleanliness and fragrant ingredients as they found in the food prepared during the marriage ceremony. The Imam, peace be upon him, replied that it was prepared for a halal, permissible, act and the wind blew from the heaven to perfume it. It is stated by Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, that a man should not haste when he feels an urge for sexual intercourse with the wife as she has to perform other household duties. If anybody looks at any woman and feels inclined towards her, he should immediately unite with his wife as she possesses the same thing which the other has. Anyhow, the shaitan should not dominate him. If there is no wife for gratification of passion, he should perform 2 rakat prayer. He should recite other prayers and send durud on the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, that he should be blessed by God's grace and saved from committing haram, non-permissible act. His prayers for getting married will be accepted and God will protect him from committing haram for gratifying sexual desire. In another tradition it is mentioned that one should avoid sexual intercourse in the following hours. A. At sunrise, it means before the appearance of sun. B. At the beginning of sunset, till the appearance of complete dusk, Maghrib C. At the night of lunar eclipse. D. At the night or day, when the windstorm is blowing or earthquake happens. Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, said that none will see any sign of happiness in the person who is born out of the union mentioned above because his father had refused the signs of God. It is stated in another tradition that one should not unite with his wife before taking out the ring which is engraved with holy names or Naqsh. 5. Prayers and supplications on the first night when the bride is conducted to groom's house for matrimonial relations, and at the time of living together. It is stated from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, that when one conducts his bride to his house, he should direct her to perform wuzu, ablution and 2 rakat namaz and the groom also should perform 2 rakat namaz after wuzu. Thus, one should pray to the Almighty Allah and recite durud for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon him, and recite all ladies who have accompanied the bride to groom's house to say Ameen, then recite the following dua. O Allah, bless me with the love, freedom and happiness of this woman. Let me be in agreement with and keep thou, forever, love and kindness between us as thou like what is right and dislike what is not permissible. Afterwards Imam said, love is a gift from God and hatred is a gift of shaitan. Shaitan wants that people should however refrain themselves from performing halal. In another tradition, Ali, peace be upon him, has stated that if one wants to keep himself away from the influence of shaitan at the time of coition, one should recite Bismillah and Auzubillah. 6. Obligations of a wife towards husband and of a husband towards wife, regulations about it. According to Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, a woman who displeases her husband and spends a night in the same condition, will not have her prayers heard until she is on good terms with her husband. And a woman who will apply perfume for men other than her husband will not have her prayers accepted. The Imam, peace be upon him, has stated that the deed of three people does not reach the heavens. A. A slave who has run away from his master. B. A woman whose husband is displeased with her. C. One who has worn a dress displaying his pride. A woman should not prolong her prayer in order to prevent her husband from satisfying his sexual desire. When the husband calls his wife for sexual satisfaction but she delays and the husband goes to sleep, then the angels will curse her till the husband is awake. A reliable tradition states that except in certain circumstances, a woman cannot spend her wealth in any manner without having the permission of her husband. Those exceptional circumstances are A. Hajj. B. Zakat. C. Helping parents and one's poor relatives. According to Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, if a woman says to her husband that she has seen no kind act on his part, then all the rewards of her good deeds disappear. It is stated in many reliable traditions that the husband is bound to provide sufficient food and clothes to his wife and forgive her mistake. In another tradition it is stated that the husband should not be harsh to his wife but should supply her every day with a sufficient quantity of oil. She should be provided with meat once in 3 days. Hina and Vasma, whatever she is used to, be provided to her once in every 6 months. He must also provide her with at least 4 complete sets of clothing, 2 for winter and 2 for summer. One should keep her hair oil, vinegar and olive oil in the house. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has stated that the best among men is he who treats his wife the best. His wife and children are his prisoners and God is happy with those who treat their prisoners well. In connection with the wife's rights over husband, one should know that it is wajib, compulsory, that a husband should unite with wife once in 4 months if he is at home and has no legitimate reason to abstain from it. One should live together with wife at night, making equal arrangements of living together with other wives when he has more than one. A group of ulama believes that each night should be reserved for each wife when there are more than one wife. Sleeping with the wife does not necessarily mean coition. It is a common saying among the ulama that when one marries another virgin, then he should reserve 7 successive nights for her, and if she is not a virgin, then 3 successive nights. 7. Prayers for conception. It is stated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that woman is one of the flowers of heaven, pious children are the sign of man's good fortune. He, peace be upon him and his progeny, also stated that one should produce more children so that he may feel proud of them on the Day of Judgment. A tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, states that a woman from the time of pregnancy to delivery, and delivery to weaning gets the reward of a man who is stationed at borders to repel the attacks of the infidels, and if a woman dies during that period, she will get the reward of a martyr. A tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, states that Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him, crossed a grave and found that the one laid in the grave was in a state of punishment. When he crossed the grave again, he did not find the man under the divine punishment. Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him, inquired of God about it and God revealed unto him that one of the children who was pious had now attained adulthood. That boy had repaired a road, and had made arrangement for the skeelering of an orphan. On account of these deeds of his son, God had pardoned that man. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, stated that in heritage a man leaves for God is his son who will carry out his religious duties, that is prayers. It is stated in another tradition that a person who dies without leaving any children is equal to a person who was not born in this world, and a person who dies leaving many children is as though he is not dead. According to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, the Almighty God is more generous towards daughters than sons. A man who will please his blood relations in a permissible manner will be rewarded likewise on the Day of Judgment. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has stated that the daughters are virtues and the sons are blessings. God will reward for the virtues and question about the blessings. In another tradition, Imam, peace be upon him, has stated that Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, asked God for a daughter who will cry over him when he dies. And also stated that if a person prays to God for the death of his daughter and she dies, he will be considered as a sinner on the Day of Judgment. It is stated that once a man was in the company of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and when the news of his wife giving birth to a daughter arrived, he turned pale. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said to the man that the earth was ready to bear its burden and the sky to shelter and the Almighty God to provide it with food, and in spite of everything, the child was a flower to please him. Then addressing his companions, the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said that a person who had one daughter carried a heavy burden, a person who had two should be helped when in need, a person who had three should be excused from jihad and such other religious sanctions, and the person having four should be given loan and dealt mercifully. Anyone who has three daughters or three sisters and takes upon himself the responsibility and trouble of their upbringing, Allah, through His grace and mercy, shall make him enter paradise. Then the man asked, O Prophet of Allah, if he has two daughters or sisters. The Prophet replied, even then he shall enter paradise. Another man asked, O Prophet of Allah, if he has one. The Prophet replied, even then he shall enter paradise. It is stated from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that if there is a delay in the birth of the child, the following prayer should be recited. O Allah, keep me not alone though you are the best of guardians. I am lonely and I am scared of my loneliness. This worry has made me forget thanks due to you. Bless me with true comfort, that is, give a male or female child whose love will alleviate my depression and loneliness, and let me thank thee on fulfilling my request. O the one who gives the most. O one who is the best reverted and one who showers reverence on others. After this, bless me with piety enough to thank thee for thy blessings, that in thanking thee, I may come nearer to you, and let me be able to fulfill my promises and return the property of others placed under my care. It is stated in a tradition that a man who wants his wife to conceive, should offer two rakat namaz after Jumu'ah prayer and lengthen ruku and sajda, and recite the following prayer. O Allah, I ask of you through those who were referred to by Zakaria, he had said, O my Allah, leave me not alone, and there is no better guardian than you. O Allah, bless me through you with a pious child, undoubtedly, you are the hearer of all prayers. O Allah, through thy name I have made this woman permissible unto me and have taken her from your guardianship. If you intend this woman's womb to be filled with the child, then make this child virtuous and pure, and let him not partake anything of the shaitan. According to a tradition, Abresh Kalabi approached Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, and complained of no having children. The Imam, peace be upon him, advised him to recite Istighfar 100 times, and the best form of Istighfar is the following. I seek refuge in you and turn to you, for your blessings. In another tradition, a person complained to Imam Reza, peace be upon him, that he was always ill and no child was born to him. The Imam, peace be upon him, advised him to say Arjan in his house loudly. He did accordingly and had a child. In another tradition, the Imam, peace be upon him, has stated that a person who decides to keep the name of the male child Ali or Hussein will be blessed with a male child. It is stated in several traditions that a woman who decides to give the name of Muhammad or Ali to her male child will be blessed by one. It is stated in Tibbul, A'imah, that a person complained to Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, of the scarcity of children. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked him to recite for 3 days Subhanallah and Astagh Firullah 70 times each after morning and Aisha prayers and recite the following ayat after it. Then said I, seek ye the forgiveness of your Lord. Verily, He is the most forgiving. He will send down upon you the cloud raining in torrents, and help you with wealth and sons, children, and make grown for you gardens, and make for you rivers. The Holy Quran 71:10-12. 8. About the days of pregnancy, delivery and giving names to child. According to Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, a pregnant woman should take bihi, quince, that the child's complexion may be fair and it may smell good. According to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, a woman should take fresh dates after childbearing, as the Almighty God had ordered Hazrat Maryam, peace be upon him, mother of Jesus, to take fresh dates at the time of Hazrat Isa, peace be upon him's birth. People inquired as to what should they do if fresh dates were not available. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, replied that one should give 9 dried Mardani dates and in case of its non-availability, any kind of dates to a woman who had given birth to a child, for the Almighty God had taken an oath on his honor that he would bless the child with modesty and sobriety. Another tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, states that one should provide his pregnant wife with kunda, a kind of gum, for eating. A child who will get this food in his mother's womb will have a courageous heart and an intelligent mind. If the child is a male, he will be brave, and if it is a female, the lower part of her body will be heavy on account of which she will be dear to her husband. According to Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, before cutting the umbilical cord of the child, 2 drops of the mixture of Jaushir in water should be poured in the right and left nasals and Arjan in the right ear, and the Holy Quran 71:10-12 Ikama in the left ear be recited. After this, the child will neither be afraid nor will be affected by Yumus Subian. Sukheki by Mari. According to Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, the best names for the child are those that convey submission to God, like Abdullah, and also the names of prophets, also the names of Ahlul Bayt. According to the tradition of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, a child's name should be kept when it is still in the womb of the mother, for if the child dies due to miscarriage, then it will ask its parents on the Day of Judgment as to why he was not given a name. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, had kept the name of Hazrat Fatima's child Mohsin while he was still in his mother's womb, and who died after a few days of the Prophet's death while still in the womb on account of a door falling on Hazrat Fatima when her house was burnt. It is stated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that if one has 4 children, one should be named after the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. It is stated from Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, that if one of the following names is kept in the family, there will be no poverty: Muhammad, Ahmed, Hassan, Hussein, Ja'far, Talib, Abdullah, and Fatima. According to Jabir, he accompanied Imam Muhammad Bakir, peace be upon him, to the house of a person. A boy came out of the house and the Imam, peace be upon him, asked him his name. The boy answered, Muhammad, and when he was asked his kunyat, he said, Abu Ali. At that time the Imam, peace be upon him, said that the boy has made himself safe from the mischief of Shaitan. When the Shaitan hears anyone calling Ya Muhammad or Ya Ali, he melts like gilt before the furnace. And when he hears the names of the Ahlul Bayt's enemies being taken, he is happy. According to another tradition, a person told Imam Ja'far a-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that God has blessed him with a son. The Imam, peace be upon him, congratulated him, and when he was told that the boy's name was Muhammad, he bowed down saying Muhammad Muhammad. He neared, touching the ground in this process, and said that he, his offsprings, his parents and wives were ready to be sacrificed over the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. He, peace be upon him, further said that when he had kept such a name he should not scold or hurt, abuse, his child. When a child of the name of Muhammad is in any house, it is daily visited by angels. It is stated in a tradition that the name Yasin should not be kept, as it was particularly meant for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And it is stated by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that if a group had the people of following names, Muhammad, Ahmed, Mahmud, and Hamed, then their advice will be the best. It is stated that if a child is named Muhammad, he should be given due respect, given a place in a gathering, and should not be scolded or hurt, or abused. He further stated that if one in the family is named after the prophets, an angel will be kept to pray for the piety of the child. According to Fiqh-e Reza, a child's name should be kept within 7 days of his birth. It is wajib or sunnat-e muwakkida to bathe a child after the birth with this intention that one is bathing the child for proximity to God. First his head should be washed, followed by his right and left sides. 9. Etiquette of akika and hair cutting. A person who is well off should perform akika for his child, as it is sunnat-e muwakkida, strongly recommended, bordering to compulsory, and according to some ulama, it is compulsory. It is advisable to have akika on the 7th day of a child's birth, and if it is not possible, then it can be done by the father of the child, as this sunnat can be done till the child reaches puberty. If it is not performed till puberty by the father, then the child becomes responsible for carrying out this sunnat from his reaching adulthood till the end of his days. According to Imam Ja'far-e Sadiq, peace be upon him, akika is compulsory for both the rich and the poor, but a poor man can perform when possible, and if he cannot perform at all, then he is not responsible. And if a child's akika has not been performed till the sacrifice of a lamb, then the first sacrifice will be done in his name and considered instead of akika. According to another tradition, people complained to Imam Ja'far-e Sadiq, peace be upon him, that even after searching they were unable to find a sheep for the purpose of akika. They asked whether they could give in charity the total cost of the sheep instead. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked them to wait and said that if they searched more, they would get the animal, as God liked the giving of food after sacrifice. When people asked if they have to do the akika of the child who died on the 7th day, the Imam, peace be upon him, answered that they should not do if the child had died before Namaz-e Zohar, but must perform if the child died after Namaz-e Zohar. According to a tradition from Umar ibn Zayd, he told Imam Ja'far-e Sadiq, peace be upon him, that he was not sure if his father had performed his akika. The Imam, peace be upon him, asked him to perform his own akika. So Umar did it in his old age. A reliable tradition from the Imam, peace be upon him, states that a child's name should be kept on, better within, 7th day after his birth, and also his akika performed, and the child is given a shave, and the silver equal in weight to the shaven hair should be given in charity. One leg of the sheep should be sent to that woman who has helped in child's birth, and the remaining meat should be distributed among other people and given in charity. According to Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, at the birth of Husnain, peace be upon him, said Arjan in his ears on the 1st day, and Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon him, performed the akika on the 7th day and gave the midwife one leg of the sheep and one gold coin. A gold coin perhaps means a dinar. It is popular among ulama that it is sunnat to have a male animal sacrificed for a son and a female for a daughter. Many reliable traditions prefer a male animal for both, a son or a daughter. It is sunnat that the parents should not take the meat of akika, and it is also advisable for them not to eat the dish in which that meat is being used, like pulao. It is sunnat that in an akika the animal's bones should not be broken and the meat should be detached from the joints. It is sunnat to distribute the meat of the akika cooked or uncooked, and the best way of cooking is by boiling the meat in salt and water. But distribution of uncooked meat also does not matter. If the animal for sacrifice is not available, then it is no use to give the total cost of the sacrificial animal in charity. In this situation one should be patient. There is no condition that the meat should be given to the needy only, but it is advisable to give meat to the wealthy too. It is a popular sunnah to give a head shave first and to perform the akikah later, and according to another tradition, giving the child a head shave, performing akikah, measuring silver or gold equal to the shaven hair and giving that silver or gold in charity should be done at the same place and at the same time. It is sunnah to have complete head shave of the child, not a single hair or wisp should be left behind. In a tradition, it is stated that a child with a plait was brought to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that he may pray for it. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, refused and asked his plait to be cut off. Many reliable traditions prohibit the rubbing of the animal's blood on child's head, as it is a custom of primitive times. A reliable tradition states that Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, used to recite the following prayer while the animal of Akika was being sacrificed. I begin with the name of Allah and with reliance on him. O Allah, this Akika is off, take the name of the child. This meat is instead of his meat, this blood is instead of his blood, and these bones are instead of his bones. O Allah, through Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, and Ali Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, consider this akikah instead of the child. If there is a girl's akikah, then the middle of the prayer should be as such. This meat is instead of her meat, this blood is instead of her blood, and these bones are instead of her bones. In another tradition, he has stated the following prayer to be recited. I begin with the name of Allah. I rely on Allah. All praise is the praise of Allah. Thank for the safeguarding of Allah's command and his gift and this act. Ahlul Bayt are superior to us, and through them he has blessed us. If it is a son, recite name of the child and father, and if it is a girl, the first part of the prayer is enough. 10. Circumcision, katna, of boys. It is sunnat a muvak kida to circumcise a boy on, within, the seventh day after birth. To do it on eighth day or before puberty is also sunnat. Some say that it is wajib, compulsory, on the guardian to get it done when the boy is approaching the age of puberty. It is stated in a reliable tradition from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that the body will become handsome and improve weight after circumcision within the 7 days after his birth. The earth dislikes the urine of one who does not get himself circumcised. It is stated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that the earth remains impure for 40 days by the urine of a person who has not been circumcised. It is stated in a reliable tradition from Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, that it is sunnah to circumcise the boy on, within, the 7th day after his birth. But there is no harm if it is done later. According to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, one should get circumcised even at the age of 80 if he has professed Islam. It is stated from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that at the time of circumcision, the following dua should be recited. O Allah! This is thy sunnat and that of thy Prophet, on whom and on whose al, dear one, thou shower thy blessings. We follow thou and thy Prophet, which is in accordance with thy will, intention, and the affair about which thou had willed and decided and commanded, according to which you have made him taste the temperature of iron in the performance of katna, circumcision, and hijamat, vivisection, the suitability of which thou art more aware than us. O Allah, clean him of his sins, lengthen his age, alleviate all his bodily pains, and make him healthy, and let him not suffer from poverty, for you have knowledge whereas we do not have. Even if the circumcision is performed near the age of puberty, the above dua should be recited. It is stated from Sahib al-Zaman, 12th Imam, peace be upon him, that the boy should be circumcised again if the foreskin of the genital organ has developed after the first circumcision and covered the front portion of the organ. The earth complains to God for 40 days when a person whose organ is covered with foreskin, urinates upon it. It is narrated from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that one cannot be a peshnamez, give evidence as witness if he has not got himself circumcised. Without any strong reason, neither is the prayer on his death permissible. The only acceptable strong reason is the danger of life in the case of circumcision. 11. Manners of feeding and upbringing the child and consideration of their rights. It should be remembered that a child should be given mother's milk for not more than 2 years, and ulama do not think it correct for a mother to feed her child for more than 2 years, except when there is some disease or dangerous situation, and the feeding period should not be less than 21 months unless there is some compulsion as the non-availability to pay the feeding woman, or the mother's milk has dried in the process of feeding or she suffered from some dangerous disease. According to some ulama, it is wajib, compulsory, for a mother to feed the baby the moment the milk is filled in her breast, otherwise the child will die, or even if it survives, it will be weak. According to another tradition, once Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said to a mother not to feed with one breast, but both breasts, as one is instead of food, and the other is instead of water, and he also stated that feeding the child for less than 21 months is cruelty on the part of the mother towards the child. It is stated from the Imam, peace be upon him, in another tradition that dyer, wet nurse, should be kept under vigilance to feed the child properly. The dyer can be a Jew or a Christian. In case she takes the child home, she should be prohibited to commit any haram, forbidden, act like drinking wine, eating haram, etc. It is prohibited to feed the child with any woman's milk who gives birth to a child by committing fornication. According to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, one should find a feeding woman who is both good-looking and of good character, because when milk enters the child's body, he resembles his feeding woman both in looks and character. Part 6. Manners of going to a bath, washing head and body, applying Nora and certain baths. 6. Benefits of applying Nora, a kind of lime water which is applied for the removal of unwanted hair. It is stated from Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, that applying Nora makes the body clean. It is stated from the same Imam, peace be upon him, that the growth of unwanted hair stops the production of semen and children, makes the joints inactive and causes weakness and leprosy. Applying Nora to remove unwanted hair increases the production of semen, makes the body strong and increases the fat on kidneys. It is stated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that one should not allow his hair over lips, under armpit and over lower abdomen to grow. It opens temptation to shaitan. It is stated in a reliable tradition from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that one should not allow the hair under the armpit to grow as it opens temptation to shaitan. 7. Duration of time for applying Nora. It is stated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, that the person who has faith in Almighty God and the Day of Judgment should not keep the unwanted hair for more than 40 days. It is stated from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that it is sunnah to apply Nora once in 15 days. It is also stated that Nora will not harm anybody if it smells a little. It is narrated from Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that it did not matter to apply Nora in the state of Janabat, rather it would increase physical purity. It is narrated in a reliable tradition from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, that a person asked him whether he could apply olive oil mixed with flour on the body, after applying Nora to get rid of the unpleasant smell, and Imam, peace be upon him, replied in the affirmative. 9. Etiquette of Jummah bath and other kinds of baths. According to scholars, there are 5 compulsory baths. A. Janabat bath. It is compulsory to take bath after seminal discharge, for women also it is compulsory after coition. B. Haiz bath, compulsory bath for women after menstruation. C. Istihaza bath, compulsory bath for women when the excessive blood flows more than the menstruation period of 3 to 10 days, or after nifas. D. Nifas, Compulsory bath for women when the period of flow of blood after delivery is over. E. Bath after touching any part of a dead body. It is written in the commentary of Quran by Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, that if one reads the following dua after wuzu or janabat bath, his sins will vanish away as the leaves falling down from the tree, and from every drop of wuzu water or bathing water, an angel will be created to pray to God and recite durud for prophets, and all these blessings will be written in his record book. If a man died in the state of janabat, he should be given ghusl-e janabat, janabat bath, before or after ghusl-e mayyat, that is dead body, and it is sunnat. Part 13. 8. Mention of the racing of horses and archery. According to Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, there are certain things which lead to poverty and others that lead to wealth. Things causing poverty and need are 16. A. Having cobwebs in the house. B. Urinating in bathroom. C. Eating in the state of janabat. D. Cleaning teeth with stick used in sweeping. E. Combing hair while standing. F. To have dirt in the house in spite of having a broom in the house. G. Taking a false oath. H. Adultery.